July 12th, St. John Jones and St. John Wall. Martyrs, First Order. Always loyal to the church. That was the watchword of the Franciscans in England during the terrible persecution under King Henry VIII, Edward VI, and Elizabeth. St. John Jones, who is also known as Godfrey Maurice Buckley, came from a good Welsh family which had remained Catholic. He had been in prison at two different times while he was still a secular priest. Then in 1590, he left the prison of Wisbeach Castle and went abroad. But whether he was banished or made his escape, we do not know. During his imprisonment, he gained a religious vocation. Immediately after he had recovered his liberty, he went to Greenwich and received the habit of St. Francis. He was professed at Pontoise, France, and shortly afterwards went to Rome, where he lived in the convent of Araceli for almost 3 years. To one who had already borne the cross and practiced the hardships of poverty, the further sacrifice of his worldly goods cost little. But it needed more than ordinary humility to enter the religious life at nearly 60 years of age, to submit to religious superiors, who were probably his inferiors in years, sufferings, and spiritual experience. When his religious training was completed, he offered himself for the English missions. Before starting, he had an audience with Pope Clement VIII, who, embracing him and giving him his blessing, said, quote, "Go, for I believe that you are a true son of St. Francis, and pray to God for me and his holy church," end quote. He arrived in London in 1593, but remained there only a few months. He then went to the country, where he labored in the vineyard of the Lord for almost 3 years. Then he was again sent to prison, remaining there about 2 years. Not long afterwards, in July 1598, he was arraigned for going over the seas and being made a priest by authority from Rome, and for returning again to England. He answered, "If this be a crime, I must own myself guilty, for I am a priest, and I came over to England to gain as many souls as I could for Christ." Then he was condemned to be hanged, drawn, and quartered. When he heard the sentence, he fell upon his knees and thanked God for having considered him worthy of martyrdom. On July 12th, he was drawn on a hurdle to St. Thomas Waterings. Kneeling down at the foot of the gallows, he prayed for a short while, and then addressed the crowd which had gathered. When the last moment came, he prayed in a loud voice, "Sweet Jesus, have mercy on my soul." An officer said in derision that he had forgotten our Blessed Lady. Then he added, "Blessed Queen of Heaven, be my advocate and pray for me now and ever." Then he repeated the prayer, "Sweet Jesus," and raised his hands as high as he could, which was the sign for a priest who might be in the crowd to give him absolution. Then he asked all the Catholics present to say the creed and to pray for him. After the execution, his remains were left exposed for several days, as was the custom of the times, but soon devout Catholics secretly removed them. Pope Pius XI added his name to the list of the beatified. He is one of the 40 martyrs of England who were canonized by Pope Paul VI on October 25th, 1970. John Wall, in religion, Father Joachim of St. Anna, was the fourth son of Anthony Wall of Chingle, Singleton Hall, Lancashire. He was born in 1620, and when very young, was sent to the English College at Douay. From there, he proceeded to Rome, where he was raised to the priesthood in 1648. Several years later, he returned to Douay and was clothed in the habit of St. Francis in the convent of St. Bonaventure. He made his solemn profession on January 1st, 1652. So great was the estimation in which he was held by his brethren that within a few months he was elected vicar of the convent and soon after master of novices. In 1656, he joined the English mission, and for 12 years he labored in Worcestershire under the names of Francis Johnson or Webb, winning souls even more by his example than by his words. At Harvington, to this day, the memory of Blessed Father Johnson is cherished, and stories of his heroic zeal are recounted by the descendants of those who were privileged to know and love the glorious martyr. Some of the charges raised against Father Wall when he was captured were that he had said Mass, heard confessions, and received converts into the church. He was accidentally found in December 1678 at the house of a friend, Mr. Finch of Rushock, and carried off by the sheriff's officer. He was committed to Worcester jail and lay captive for 5 months, enduring patiently all the loneliness, suffering, and horrors of prison life, which at that time were scarcely less dreadful than death itself. On April 25th, 1679, Father John was brought to court. His condemnation was a foregone conclusion. He was sent back to prison till the king's further pleasure concerning him should be known. And for another 4 months, he languished in captivity. It was during this period that he was offered his life if he would deny his faith. "But I told them," said the martyr, "that I would not buy my life at so dear a rate as to wrong my conscience." One of Father Wall's brethren in religion, Father William Levison, had the privilege of seeing the martyr for the space of 4 or 5 hours on the day before his execution. Father William tells us, quote, "I heard his confession and communicated him, to his great joy and satisfaction. While in prison, he carried himself like a true servant of his crucified master, thirsting after nothing more than the shedding of his blood for the love of his God, which he performed with a courage and cheerfulness, becoming a valiant soldier of Christ, to the great edification of all the Catholics and the admiration of all Protestants." End quote. Father Wall's martyrdom took place on Red Hill, overlooking the city of Worcester, on August 22, 1679. His head was kept in the convent at Douai until the French Revolution broke out and the community fled to England. What became of it then is not known. The Catholics of Worcester found consolation in remarking, as a proof of his sanctity, that his grave always appeared green, while the rest of the churchyard was bare. A large crucifix was raised in the little Catholic churchyard at Harvington to the memory of this saintly son of St. Francis, Father Joachim of St. Anna. Father Joachim of St. Anna was beatified under the name of Blessed John Wall, December 15, 1929, together with Father John Jones and 134 companions. They were canonized in 1970. On professing the faith. We are obliged to profess our faith in words. The apostle says, quote, "Now faith is the substance of things to be hoped for, the evidence of things that appear not." End quote, Hebrews 11:1. But it is not by this inward conviction alone that we comply with our duty. For with the heart we believe unto justice, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10:10. we must also profess our faith in our conduct. The words of our Savior can be applied here. He who shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed when he shall come in his majesty. Luke 9:26. Those who play fast and loose with their faith, or who dishonor it in their conduct, certainly act disgracefully, let alone dangerously. We commit sin if we deny our faith, for we thereby separate ourselves from Christ, from baptism, from the church, from the Mother of God. What will be the lot of one who denies his faith? But he who shall deny me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Matthew 10:33. Prayer of the Church. We beseech thee, O Lord, strengthen in our hearts the mysteries of the true faith, that we may confess him as true God, who was conceived of the Virgin, and by virtue of his salutary resurrection, may merit to attain to eternal bliss, through the same Christ our Lord. Saints John Jones and John Wall, pray for us. Thank you.